WMAL News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. Calls for Virginia's lieutenant governor to resign intensify after a second woman says she was sexually assaulted by him. Meredith Watson says Justin Fairfax raped her when they were both students at Duke University in 2000. Then, in a second statement released yesterday, Watson's attorney said Fairfax is trying to smear her client with the typical she's nuts defense by revealing that she was the victim of another rape, one she told him about. Watson says Fairfax used that information against her. In his own statement, Fairfax says he never forced himself on anyone ever and will not resign, but instead work to clear his name. Watson's accusations come after Dr. Vanessa Tyson said Thursday Fairfax sexually assaulted her in 2004. Among those calling for Fairfax to step down, the Virginia Legislative Black Caucus and Loudoun County Board of Supervisors Chair and Fairfax's friend, Phyllis Randall, both agree.
As he works to clear his name, we still have to govern in the state. And we still have to have, the lieutenant governor is the president of the Senate. And so it can't just be about one person clearing their name. It has to be about the Commonwealth and what is good for the Commonwealth.
Delegate Patrick Hope, a Democrat from Arlington, says if Fairfax doesn't voluntarily step down, he'll try to force him out.
I believe these women. He needs to resign immediately. Should the lieutenant governor fail to do so, on Monday, I intend to introduce articles of impeachment on Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax.
Virginian Senate Republican leaders calling on Fairfax to resign, saying if the allegations are true, he committed felonies. If you're taking the Red Line downtown this weekend, leave yourself extra time. Red Line trains will not be stopping at Farragut North, Metro Center, or Gallery Place, so LED lights can be installed.
Due to the location of the lights down the middle of the tracks, trains can't operate on either track while that work is taking place. So as a result, we're going to have buses that replace the trains between DuPont Circle and Judiciary Square throughout the weekend.
Spokesperson Sherry Lee says if you're traveling to Gallery Place, use the yellow or green lines. A heads up for Prince George's County Beltway drivers, a major closure today. The three left lanes of the Inner Loop southbound closed last night and are expected to remain closed until noon today for bridge repair. Charlie Gishler with Maryland State Highway says local detours are possible, but if you're driving through Maryland into Virginia,
your best bet's going to use the outer loop of the Capitol Beltway, go through Montgomery County and use the American Legion Bridge instead of Woodrow Wilson Bridge.
Yep, you have to go all the way around. Good news when it comes to the president's health following his annual physical at Walter Reed.
Vital statistics were not released, but the president's physician, Navy Commander Sean Conley, pronounced the commander-in-chief in very good health. He led the examination at Walter Reed, and in his memo, Conley said the exam took 4 hours and 11 specialists took part in the physical. It concluded with Conley's expectation that the president will remain healthy for the rest of his term.
In Washington, Bob Costantini on WMAL and WMAL.com.
In sports, the Wizards beat the Cavaliers 119-106. Up next, traffic and weather.
Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 6, it's Purity Products. And at 6:30, Chris McKay returns. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Senior Solutions. Hear the Wise Investor at 9. The Underwriter's Corner at 11. Dr. Tom Rosell live at noon. Right on Retirement at 1. The Del Walmsley Show at 2. Mortgage Radio at 3. And Real Estate Today at 7 on WMAL.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
WMAL Traffic and Weather, here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In the district, you will find some slow traffic on DC 295 northbound from the 11th Street Bridge to Pennsylvania Avenue with the long-term work zone and the lane shifting to the left and some uneven pavement there to watch out for. Also, there is a work zone on the southbound lanes as well, but we're mainly just seeing northbound delays right now. In Maryland, in Ashton, getting reports of an accident at New Hampshire Avenue at 108. Use caution there. In Germantown, the earlier accident on Clopper Road at Waring Station Road. That is all cleared away. And 270 so far looks good, headed from Gaithersburg to the Beltway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, sunny with a high near 36. Right now, 30 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
You can now listen to The Real Estate Report at 12:04 p.m. every Thursday and Friday. Here, you'll find what's happening in the DMV when it comes to buying and selling homes. This new feature is brought to you by Eric Stewart, the host of Pointing You Home, heard here every Sunday morning. Tune in and listen as Eric shares his experience and knowledge in today's real estate market, buying and selling homes. To learn more or listen to one of Eric's podcasts, just Google the Eric Stewart Group.com. That's the Eric Stewart Group.com.
Chris Plant here for the professional matchmakers at It's Just Lunch. You know, when it comes to dating, you have two choices, face-to-face or online. So which one actually works? The truth is, you can't spell online without L-I-E. And studies show that more than half of online daters lie on their profiles. That's why It's Just Lunch is so effective. Relationships that start face-to-face are more likely to last. And 74% of singles say the best sign of good chemistry is good conversation. It's Just Lunch is the only in-person matchmaking service whose members are relationship-ready, invested in success, and 100% guaranteed to go on dates with quality people who are pre-screened and hand-selected for you by local matchmakers. The choice is clear. If you're a single professional who's ready for real dating, visit itsjustlunchdc.com. It's Just Lunch. Connection awaits with guaranteed dates.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. At AM 630.
Saturday morning update on WMAL Hour 2. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us. He is the White House correspondent at Newsmax.com. John, good morning.
Good morning, and what a week it is.
John, normally I'd start off talking about the State of the Union, but I think the State of Virginia is trumping the State of the Union this morning. These revelations just continue to keep coming out. The top three leaders in the State of Virginia.
I don't think I could have written this. Garrett Epps, whose book The Shad Treatment is considered a political novel on a par with Advise and Consent or The Last Hurrah, could not have imagined this in his wildest dreams. The governor of Virginia, Democrat Ralph Northam, at first admits and apologizes for appearing in blackface or in a KKK white hood and putting the picture in his medical school yearbook. I'm not the person I was then, he says. Then the next day, with his wife next to him, he denies that he was the person in either picture. But yes, he did wear blackface at a party in which people tried to recreate Michael Jackson's moonwalk. His wife mercifully stepped in and kept him from trying to recreate Michael Jackson's most famous moment. Pretty soon, talk was rampant about Democrat Justin Fairfax moving up from lieutenant governor to governor. But Fairfax had problems of his own. A woman that he had known through Democratic Party circles said he forced himself on her in a hotel room. Mr. Fairfax denies this and notes that he was single at the time and the relationship was consensual. Now, whatever the truth in this, both of them have hired lawyers. The lawyer for his accuser is the same lawyer for Dr. Blasey Ford when she made the accusation against Brett Kavanaugh last year. And guess what? The lieutenant governor has signed up the legal team that represented, you guessed it, Brett Kavanaugh. Attorney General Mark Herring, the third in succession to the governorship, was quiet during all this, although like many Democrats, he called on the governor to resign. After doing so, he admitted that he once put on blackface, too, as part of a skit in college, and he's very sorry. Now, what's interesting is it's not clear who will resign, who will remain in office, although I have a funny feeling that the Democrats are afraid of what happens next. If all three of these accused men were to suddenly resign, the next person in succession to the governorship is the Republican Speaker of the House, Kirk Cox. I don't know whether he wore blackface or what he said in his past. He doesn't care and doesn't see it as an impediment to moving up. Hence, Democrats are likely to circle the wagon and keep their present office holders in power. Now, a thought on this. It seems as though we are judging people more and more on what may or may not have happened to them in college or high school. Soon it's going to be that one took a rubber duck away from someone in the crib, and they're going to be charged with some kind of forceful misbehavior. It's interesting to note that one cannot debate people on current issues and usually turns to something that they may have done in their deep past. I would say this. It's not fashionable, even in southern states, to wear blackface, to try and imitate black figures, do minstrel songs, or any of these other things that politicians probably did 30 and 40 years ago when they were young. But I submit to you that if we apply the standards of today, 2019, to the year that a person graduated from college or law school, or in Northam's case, medical school, guess what? We're not going to have a pool of officials to choose from, and we will discourage people who are very good in their lives today, in their professions, from ever serving in public life. Think about it.
Let's turn to the State of the Union address. You have analyzed State of the Union addresses for decades. Taking the politics out of it, how would you say Donald Trump fared as just strictly a president doing a State of the Union address?
A week ago, Rick, I would have never believed I'd be telling you this, but I have to say it. He hit a home run, big time. This is a president who is expected to make a scene in the podium in the House, point fingers at Nancy Pelosi right behind him, and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer, and then make a passionate case for building the wall. He summed it up all in one sentence, and he was gracious not only to the Democrats, but to the women who are coming in. When he talked about how women have benefited from his economic agenda and more working, he also noted that Congress today, near just 100 years after women got the right to vote, there are more women in the House and Senate than there has ever been in history. The president struck a resonant chord with that. He also managed to say that the investigations are going to go away, but he did it in one sentence. Better to have peace and legislation than war and investigations. And, of course, then he went on to say that there will never be socialism in the United States. His guests up in the gallery were superb, ranging from a Holocaust survivor who also survived a shooting in Philadelphia to a border patrolman, Mr. Hernandez, a special agent, in fact, who has made the case that he needs a wall to help secure our borders. In other words, this is a president who pressed all the right buttons, was gracious to opponents, as to how it will translate into policy, or whether any policy will see the light of day in a Republican-controlled Senate and a Democrat-controlled House. Time will tell.
The Democrats could not have been ruder for the better part of the evening. There were a couple of moments, I guess, when there was some bipartisanship, but for the most part, they scowled and looked like they had eaten bad sushi prior to coming into the chamber. But I guess that's just standard operating procedure for the party that does not share the views of the administration.
But remember one thing. Donald Trump could care less what people think of him. He just needed an audience to deliver his punchlines and to connect with the American people. This was an address very much like those delivered by, say, Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton. It wasn't sculpted for the audience in the room, the lawmakers who gather there to hear the State of the Union every year, and who will pass or defeat his agenda. This was directed toward Americans across the country, people tuning in. And in so doing, by playing up the themes of patriotism, love of country, and no socialism, the president connected.
7:16 Saturday Morning Update. We will continue our conversation with John Gizzi after a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the traffic center.
Looks like traffic is moving well on the Beltway so far through Prince George's and Montgomery County. No delays on the Beltway heading into Virginia. 95 still looking good in Virginia from Woodbridge to Springfield on 395. No problems or incidents to report, but there is some roadwork southbound between King Street and Duke Street along the right side, and that's scheduled to be in place until 8 o'clock this morning. Also in the district, we do have a work zone north and southbound on DC 295 at Pennsylvania Avenue, seeing delays northbound from the 11th Street Bridge headed towards Pennsylvania Avenue. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, it looks partly cloudy today with a high of 37, overnight lows down to 19 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 43, and it'll get on around 32 tomorrow night. Light rain on Monday, high 38. Some rain on Tuesday with a high of 43. Wednesday looks partly cloudy with a high of 48. In that rain on Monday, we might have a little mix of wintry weather, a little snow mixed in, and we'll keep you posted, obviously, over the weekend as to what Monday will look like. Right now in Washington, 27. We are headed to 37, and it is 7:17 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
The Saturday Morning Update continues. We are talking with John Gizzi, White House correspondent at Newsmax.com, and we're talking about the State of the Union address. So how do you think those people across America that are not glued to Fox News and CNN and WMAL and talk radio across the country, how do you think they perceive the president, and how do you think they perceive the Democrats?
Well, I think you've got a lot of cynicism out there. And when one looks at the group, you say probably a lot of them are disappointed now that Donald Trump hasn't done more when Republicans control both houses of Congress. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of people who wished Republicans and Democrats could come together on something. The president always makes a powerful case for building the border wall, and he has the horror stories about immigration run rampant when unchecked. I get it. On the other hand, he knows that any kind of suggestions involving a wall will never pass the Democratic House with Speaker Pelosi wielding the gavel. He said, I'm going to build that wall one way or another. This seems to me a very strong and not so subtle hint that he will opt for declaring a federal emergency and getting the wall started, at least, by the Army Corps of Engineers. We'll find out soon enough.
John, we lost a member of a political dynasty in Michigan. Tell us about the Dingell family history of politics.
Well, the Dingell family is one of the most durable political families in U.S. history. Only three people have held the 15th District of Michigan since 1932. These were John Dingell Sr., a New Deal Democrat, one of the first people to introduce national health insurance as legislation, strong supporter of President Franklin Roosevelt. When he died in 1954, his son, John Dingell Jr., quit his job as an assistant prosecutor in Wayne County and won the seat easily. He'd go on to hold it for 60 years, the longest tenure of any member of Congress in American history. Not to be undone, outgoing Congressman Dingell announced that his preferred successor was the lovely Deborah, that is his wife, Deborah Dingell. And sure enough, she won his seat with ease. The Dingell dynasty is more than 80 years old and shows no strong signs of abetting. Debbie Dingell, in part thanks to who she was married to, is already an insider in the House chambers and a top operative on the Democratic side. John Dingell was an interesting member of Congress, a big burly man at 6'3" and 250 pounds. He was someone who voted as pro-life as any Democrat can. The National Abortion Action Rights League gave him a life rating of a very mediocre 30%. He was not only a hunter and a gun owner, but a card-carrying member of the National Rifle Association and on its board until he had a few internecine disputes with the powers that be at the NRA. At a time when Democrats seemed to embrace the green agenda without hesitation, Big John was the car industry's biggest supporter. When people pointed out that his wife was a GM lobbyist, he always said, "I fell in love with cars before I fell in love with my wife." John Dingell was a unique character, a gruff man who loved wielding the gavel as chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. He was the last member of Congress to have served in World War II and was also the last member of Congress who personally knew FDR. As a page for his father, he went to the Oval Office to meet his childhood hero, the president. I think he'll be remembered as a figure from another era who was around when lawmakers and particularly committee chairmen wielded great power, but who saw that change as Congress was televised and as the Speaker grew more in power. John Dingell, part of American history, and someone I had the pleasure of meeting and reporting on.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. As always, John, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and stay tuned for the next episode from Richmond.
7:23 Saturday morning update on WMAL, and if you are just getting up this morning and missed some of the late developments on Friday evening, Patrick Hope is a Virginia delegate from Arlington, Virginia, held a press conference a little after 9 o'clock last night, and what he said was that if Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax has not resigned by Monday, he will introduce articles of impeachment. There was a joint Democratic statement on Lieutenant Governor Fairfax. This came from House and Senate Democrats yesterday. Due to the serious nature of these allegations, we believe Lieutenant Governor Fairfax can no longer fulfill his duties to the Commonwealth. He needs to address this as a private citizen. The time has come for him to step down. So that is the latest. All three Democratic leaders in the state of Virginia that have come under fire in this past week, as of this morning, all are saying that they will stay in office.
Larry O'Connor here. Since I started telling you about my great experiences with EMP 180, hundreds of my listeners have lost weight and feel great, just like Allie.
Larry, thank you so much for introducing me to EMP 180.
It was my pleasure. I've always said, if I can do it, you can do it.
I tried several different diets, and none of them work like EMP 180.
EMP 180 is unique, with personalized experts guiding you every step of the way. How do you feel?
I do feel a little bit younger. I have so much more energy.
Same here. EMP 180 transforms your physicality and your confidence.
Everybody has their skinny jeans from years ago, and they think, I'm not going to throw those away because someday I am going to fit into those.
Did you?
I pulled them out, and they were actually too big. It was one of the most wonderful feelings I've ever had.
EMP 180 empowered me. They empowered Allie. Now it's your turn. For a consultation near you, call 855-888-0180. Visit EMP180.com or Google EMP180. With me.
PatriotSoftware.com. Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
Mike Capel here, serial entrepreneur. Doing payroll is no longer a headache for our customer, Jeff.
I've used various payroll providers in the past, and none can hold a candle to Patriot Software. Their software is ridiculously easy to use. The support staff is knowledgeable and courteous. I am very excited that Patriot Software files my tax forms for me, not just providing the forms like other payroll companies do. As a business owner, managing payroll has been a long-time headache that I no longer struggle with thanks to Patriot Software. I definitely rate your company 5 out of 5 stars.
Go to PatriotSoftware.com to get your payroll pricing for up to 100 employees. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
PatriotSoftware.com. Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they helped me. They calmed me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a lot better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Why are you checking your phone?
I'm so sorry. Let me just finish this up. There. I placed a trade for tomorrow morning. Boom.
Wow, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I've been taking classes at Online Trading Academy.
Really?
I was just feeling really stuck, you know, frustrated, trying to get ahead. But they taught me some really great skills, and I'm loving it. They've taught me all these new strategies designed to produce income and grow my retirement savings.
It's Online Trading Academy?
They're a world leader in teaching people how to become traders and investors.
You think I can learn this?
I mean, of course. I was just glad I signed up for their free class to see if Online Trading Academy was right for me. They show you all kinds of different strategies you can learn to make money trading and investing and to adapt to the market, whether it's going up or down.
How do I get started?
Online Trading Academy invites you to their next free class. If you call 877-304-TRADE right now and register, they'll send you a free online video course so you can start learning right away. 877-304-TRADE. 877-304-TRADE. Or otaclass.com. 877-304-TRADE or otaclass.com.
728, Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. You know, it's interesting. The Democrats have been talking about the chaos in the White House now for the last 2 years, and that's the, just every time you hear somebody talking about the administration and how things are done, it's chaos, it's crazy, and let's look at Richmond. A little chaotic down there in the Democratic camp. And how about the Green New Deal? Well, there's a lot of chaos in the Democratic Party this morning as well. So this is a little tough for Nancy Pelosi because she's got the progressive wing. Many of the primary Democratic candidates for president in 2020 are adopting the notion behind the Green New Deal. And that could ultimately lead to the secession of air travel. No more air travel if they get this done. Figure that one out. And just all fossil fuels will be eliminated. So we'll see how that works out. But anyway, the political side of this is that Nancy Pelosi was positive. I mean, she said, I welcome the, quote, enthusiasm that is there. Quite frankly, I haven't seen it, but I do know that it's enthusiastic, and we welcome all the enthusiasm that's out there. However, I'm not so sure how enthusiastic she is, because there is a new special climate change committee. It was announced on Thursday. Nancy Pelosi named 8 Democrats, 3 freshmen, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is not among them. So, kind of interesting that Nancy Pelosi is manipulating things and obviously jockeying for the position that she needs to take to lead the Democratic Party as they veer in two very distinct different directions. 7:30 News is next with Heather Curtis. Then we're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and Cheryl Atkinson.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. Days may be numbered for Virginia's lieutenant governor after a second woman has now accused him of sexual assault. Meredith Watson says in a statement issued by her lawyer, Fairfax raped her when the two were students at Duke University in 2000. She says at the time she told friends, including Fairfax, that a basketball player raped her sophomore year. She says Fairfax used that information against her, telling her after he allegedly raped her that he did it because he knew she'd be too afraid to say anything because of the first rape. Fairfax denies this allegation and the one made against him Thursday by Dr. Vanessa Tyson. In a statement, he demands a full investigation into these allegations, which he calls unsubstantiated and false. He says he won't resign. Fairfax's own friend, Loudoun County Board of Supervisors Chair Phyllis Randall, says before she publicly called for his resignation, she texted him to give him a heads up. So how did he respond?
I'm not going to share that response.
Delegate Patrick Hope from Arlington says if Fairfax doesn't resign this weekend, he'll start an impeachment process Monday. He says the state constitution
says very clearly that impeachment shall be for a high crime or misdemeanor. There's no question that violent sexual assault clearly qualifies as a high crime.
He says to introduce this resolution so late in the session, the House of Delegates would have to unanimously approve it. We're getting more answers about the fire at Arthur Kapper Senior Center in D.C. last September. The fire was most likely caused by some form of human activity in the building's attic, according to an ATF report obtained by the Washington Post. In sports, the Wizards beat the Cavaliers 119-106. Up next, traffic and weather.
I find unspeakable peace when I come to these grounds.
Catholic cemeteries are sacred ground.
There are times that we come here and we just want peace, we want quiet.
If you need help facing a death in the family, talk to your parish priest.
We just want to feel the closeness of the Lord.
Secure the place where your family will come in prayer. Call 301-871-1300 or visit ccaw.org.
And it's just the serenity, the closeness to our Creator.
A message from the Catholic cemeteries of the Archdiocese of Washington, including All Souls Cemetery and Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Montgomery County, Maryland, Resurrection Cemetery in Prince George's County, Maryland, Mount Olivet Cemetery in the District of Columbia, and St. Mary's Queen of Peace Cemetery in Southern Maryland.
WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
The main slow spot of the morning so far is DC 295 northbound. That's slow from the 11th Street Bridge headed to the work zone at Pennsylvania Avenue. Long-term work zone there with the traffic lane shifting to the left and some uneven pavement there. And that's part of what's causing those delays. Southbound moving at a better pace. And also we do have a work zone on northbound 295 between the Naval Research Lab and Malcolm X Avenue. So do keep that in mind. That is along the right side of the roadway. No delays or problems to report on the Capitol Beltway throughout Montgomery and Prince George's County or heading into Virginia. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, WMAL Weather Channel Forecast.
Today, sunny, a high near 36, right now 29 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
I started my business in 1986 and began paying employees. I would handwrite checks and say, here you go, don't cash it until Tuesday. That came to a screeching halt when a teenage employee said his dad wanted to see his pay stub. Pay stub? We don't have pay stubs. Get back to work. He said, Dad works for the government, and state law requires I receive a pay stub. Uh-oh. Hi, I'm Mike Kappel, CEO of Patriot Software. After many emergency calls, I learned how to correctly withhold payroll taxes and create pay stubs. I avoided handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit that day, barely. That's why I created Patriot Software, to help small business owners do their payroll taxes correctly with pay stubs. And if you need help, we will help you for free. Go to PatriotSoftware.com and enter promo code RADIO, and I'll give you 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and we're joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is a CIA-trained intel operative and also authored Operation Dark Heart. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me. Good to be on.
Absolutely. We've got a lot to cover. First off, Iran. Yeah. The Republic of Iran unveiling a new ballistic weapon. That was just days after they tested a cruise missile. The Revolutionary Guards unveiling that missile that has a range of about 620 miles, that according to their official news agency, SIPA. What does that mean for us, and what is the position on that at the Pentagon?
Well, it's interesting you should mention the cruise missile, because that intermediate range missile is one of the things that we don't have one in our arsenal because of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Reduction Treaty we did with the Russians. That's one of the reasons we backed out of the treaty with the Russians. While the Russians weren't abiding by it, we recognized that there are other holes. So this is an issue that we're now correcting by leaving that treaty. And the Iranians were one of those countries we were worried about because they were developing this class of weapon. So the second thing, as they develop these things, it's very clear that these weapons are meant for offensive purposes. Things that they're doing, plus the ballistic missile program, which you mentioned and they tested, was even sanctioned by the UN after the joint agreed upon framework, the so-called nuclear deal, was in place. So the United Nations even has recognized that these programs that the Iranians are doing go against what the world believes should be prohibited. That they should not be developing these missiles because clearly they're all only meant for offensive purposes. And that's why now you see the Pentagon and others looking at what weapons we have available and how we would respond to an even more aggressive Iran.
So what can we do at this point in terms of, would you put further sanctions on Iran? I mean, what are kind of the initial immediate steps that we can take?
Well, there's two things that are going to happen. I think you're going to see a renewed series of hearings in Congress on this issue. Even the Democrats, I'd like to believe, are going to pay attention to this in the House because, again, we've seen that Iran has become more and more aggressive in the region. Secondly, we're going to examine options militarily on how to continue to contain the Iranian aggression, and this is both regarding missiles. There's been talk about how we can develop more anti-missile capability within a region. Our Aegis cruisers have an inherent capability with certain software that allows them to shoot down missiles. So this will be something we look at and work with the Europeans on this, too. Europeans are going to be troubled by the Iranians just like their local neighbors. So we'll continue to work across the board diplomatically and militarily to make sure that if the Iranians do something, they will not be successful.
You mentioned might catch the eye of the Democrats. They're going to be busy. You know, half of them are running for president now. I can't imagine how it must feel to be a citizen of a state where your senator, Cory Booker, said that his primary focus now is on the presidential race. He said that the day that he announced. I mean, how do you feel if you're in New Jersey and you thought this guy was going to be your senator, and now he's one of, you know, up to 40 people who's going to run for president? But sorry for the slight diversion there. My point being, Democrats are going to be so focused on investigations and campaigning, it'll be interesting to see if they pay any attention to Iran. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff announcing on Wednesday a broad investigation that his committee will undertake beyond Russia into whether President Donald Trump's financial interests are driving his actions. He says the investigation will, quote, allow us to investigate any credible allegation that the financial interests or interests are driving decision making of the president or anyone in the administration. My question to you, Tony, is what is Adam Schiff going to find that Robert Mueller has not found? Because Mueller has gone through everything. It's gone through the Trump Organization. I'm sure that he's probably got anything and everything that Adam Schiff's going to find, I would think.
Yeah, this is all about looking for political nuggets within the context of anything. I mean, kicking over every single rock, looking, in every single thicket in the forest, and hoping that they find something. It's going to be a complete waste of time. And yeah, to your point, Mueller has had the immense resources of DOJ, NSA, CIA, everything behind him. And I think Schiff is insane to think he'll find anything, because he won't. But this is not about reality, Rick. This is about a political narrative and trying to find little items that he can blow up and use. And it's very apparent that that if he wants to look at look like the Russia thing, I think there are indeed areas that have not been explored that should be, regarding Clinton's, Christopher Steele, the whole Steele dossier, the people who paid for it, the Russian intelligence officers who fed information into it. That's all valid regarding a target for investigation. And if Schiff wants to look at the issues relating to money driving someone's political actions, I would look no further than Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Why are they so against the wall? Are they being paid off by the cartel? I mean, I think these are legitimate questions to look at. And I'm one who believes that, you need to look at someone's actions over their words. And the action so far, you'd think that these people were making a lot of money somehow by saying that things like the wall is inhumane, or any other number of political points they've tried to make. So, Schiff is literally looking in the wrong direction. He's doing so for purposes of trying to find political fodder to use against the White House.
You know, it's interesting. He's, quote, any credible allegation that financial interests or other interests are driving decision-making of the president or anyone in the administration.
Yeah.
What about all the campaign contributions that go to the congressmen and the senators? Are they not financial interests that are driving decision-making of the entire 535 on Capitol Hill? I mean, talk about glass houses, folks.
Right.
But anyway.
And to your point, that's where he, again, he's ignoring the obvious credible areas that should be investigated for purposes of trying again to score political points. And what he's doing is acting against the interests of the American people, just plain and simple.
Okay, I see where he's going, too. Remember, Adam Schiff is the guy that had evidence. Remember about a year and a half or so ago, he had the evidence of the collusion.
His dog ate it.
Yeah, we haven't heard about that. So what he's going to do, as you mentioned, he's going to take nuggets, he will exaggerate them, take them out of context, and just throw stuff up there that hopefully will stick, that Mueller, probably would have tossed out because he couldn't corroborate or whatever. I see that's where it's going. It's fabulous. All right, you have a very interesting op-ed piece that you have written. NATO is now stronger than ever, and this is at the epictimes.com. That's epic as in E-P-O-C-H, times. And what I think is great about this, Tony, is the Democrats have had the narrative that Trump is going to pull us out of NATO, and Trump is anti-NATO and wants to destroy NATO. But as you write, NATO is now stronger than ever.
Yeah, I find it immensely ironic, and thank you for noting the editorial, because, Rick, when people read it, I just lay out the facts. It is one where I actually enjoyed writing it by the fact that it wrote itself, and I simply put a little snarky point here and there to make the point you are, is that, look, there's no diminution of NATO. It's stronger than ever. It's got teeth again. It's a real military force, not a boys' club like it was in the last 20 years. So I scratch my head when I see these constant and inane attacks by the left, by people like Schiff and Pelosi and others, who keep saying, oh, he's working to undermine our interests. He is not. And I've actually spoken with multiple members, very senior members of the Pentagon. And as a matter of fact, I talked to them right before the editorial was published, and they echoed exactly what the president said. And by the way, these are career military officers who have no political slant. And they've said, no, we are enjoying an amazing renaissance in Europe by the fact the president has been so strong on this. So, again, when you look at people like Adam Schiff, who are about to engage in completely partisan investigations, and you look at the reality for what he's doing, the reality is clearly benefiting the American people.
You point out in the article that Jens Stoltenberg, the NATO Secretary General, says, quote, President Trump is having an impact. By the end of next year, NATO allies will add $100 billion extra toward defense. So we see some real money and some real results, and we see that the clear message from President Donald Trump is having an impact. That is a quote from Jens Stoltenberg, the NATO Secretary General. Now, if anybody wanted to come out and say Trump was going to destroy NATO, wouldn't you think the Secretary General might find fault with President Trump?
And you would. And you hear that constantly from all the Europeans. So, again, this is a very clear evidence from a foreign source that, indeed, the efforts of this administration, especially the president and policy he laid down, is being effective. And, you know, I'm not an expert in all areas, but, you know, we see similar positive results on the economy. We see similar positive results on women's issues. So, you know, the Democrats clearly want to attack without understanding in regard to the reality of what progress the president is actually making across the board.
And once again, the headline on it, NATO is now stronger than ever. You can find it at theepictimes.com. Check that out. Run a copy. Have it in your pocket so when your Democratic friends at your next dinner party or cocktail party start to talk about how Trump's destroying NATO, you can read that quote. Tony has included that quote from the Secretary General, and that will quiet, hopefully, quiet those who have no clue except that they want to destroy the president. Trump derangement syndrome continues. Hey, the Pentagon fiscal year 2020 budget will feature a special section focused entirely on investments that will drive reforms and save taxpayers money long term. When was the last time they did that?
Since Reagan. It's a great question, Rick. And yeah, look, the last time the Defense Department actually accepted a reduction in budget, actually was working to do this, was actually in the last 2 years of the Reagan White House, where Reagan actually cut the defense budget. And I think that's where, you know, as I mentioned in the article you just mentioned, you know, Trump's foreign policy, national security policy is very Reagan-esque. And so he has directed the Pentagon to start looking at how to actually be more efficient. Imagine that. And, you know, I'll never forget back when I was a young case officer, I saw a survey where the Pentagon had spent, I don't remember the exact number, but they spent over a one-year period approximately, I don't know, $50 million on travel. And to account for that $50 million being spent, they spent $55 million. So think about that. The actual accounting for spending costs more than the travel. So just think about that. So if you can actually cut out the accounting of over it, either, you know, make it less vigorous or just make it that's a flat fee you pay people, you could take that money and just not spend it or put it back into something productive like travel. So that's what the Pentagon is very bad about, is actually thinking about what it's doing. And I think that's what the people here are doing. They're looking at investments. They're looking at how to change money from administrative funds, which really are not well used, to operational funds, which help drive the train, that sort of thing. So I am very, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that this is something that will take off, and I think it should be very much encouraged.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, acting president at the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, thank you so much.
Always good to be on with you, Ricky. Thanks.
Our pleasure. 7:48 Saturday morning update. We'll talk with Cheryl Atkinson next, but first a check for the traffic and weather.
Overall, a light volume of traffic on the Capitol Beltway. In Montgomery County, though, on the outer loop, debris reported in the roadway before University Boulevard. Use caution there. And also, there is a work zone in place now on the inner loop between Pennsylvania Avenue and Allentown Road. So far, they're just along the right shoulder, not causing any delay, but do be aware of that. Now, traveling on DC 295 northbound, you will find slow traffic from the 11th Street Bridge headed to the work zone at Pennsylvania Avenue. Lanes are shifting to the left, and there is some uneven pavement to watch out for. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Partly cloudy today, a high of 37, chilly again tonight, down to 19. It's going to be breezy today, winds up to 17 miles an hour, so bundle up. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, high 43 for Monday. Some light rain, possibly some snow in the mix for Monday, but we'll keep you posted on how that develops. High of 38 expected Monday. Rain Tuesday, high 43. Cloudy Wednesday with a high of 48. Right now, 28 degrees in D.C., heading to 37, 7:49 Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. It is always a pleasure to be joined by Cheryl Atkinson. Of course, she is the host of Full Measure on ABC 7. That's tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock and author of The Smear. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a piece at thehill.com, opinion piece, came out this week and got a lot of coverage around the country. The headline on it, Intel Operation Against Trump, still going strong. And it's a fascinating story. Tell us what you're finding here.
Well, I think that as we're still waiting to hear from Special Counsel Mueller about the Russia-Trump investigation, we have over the past couple of years gotten substantial evidence from the Inspector General, congressional probes, and so on, of an Intel scandal, I believe, which shows that not only was there an Intel operation against candidate Trump in 2016, which is currently under investigation, by the way, but some in the Intel community are even now orchestrating leaks and undermining President Trump in what I believe looks like an Intel operation in 2019. And I point to the most recent example, although it's been pretty constant, unnamed Intel officials about a week ago fanning out, speaking to the press, airing their grievances about classified briefings and how President Trump is not taking them seriously or how he is uninformed. Well, this information is being leaked by intelligence officials, and I don't believe this would be done by multiple officials to multiple news outlets if it weren't part of some sort of approved operation, because that's how those sorts of things work. Disseminating those details, by the way, if they're true, could be seen as assisting our enemies. And that's what some inside the government are currently doing.
What about the media's role in all of this?
Well, I'm concerned about that just because, you know, the press, when I looked at some of these articles, were parroting these talking points from these anonymous Intel officials in these one-sided accounts, not offering really any other side or other viewpoints, as if there's no way these Intel officials, no consideration given to the idea that they could be capable of flaws or conflicted by political motives. And in fact, they treat it as if when the president gets Intel, it's outrageous that he would question any of it. And I go on to say, presidents have often questioned their Intel, and it can be argued that sometimes they should question their Intel. You know, go back to President Bush after 9/11, people probably wish he had questioned the intel that said Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. It was later agreed that they didn't have what the intel community said they had. So I think Trump is getting some different treatment, and these allegations are not being treated with the same sort of skepticism when they're brought to the press by these anonymous officials as we ought to be treating them.
And that is at thehill.com, the headline, Intel Operation Against Trump Still Going Strong. China has certainly been a problem for the United States. Many issues face us with China. We have allies, but I think people would be a bit surprised to find out who one of our strongest allies is now.
Well, that's Vietnam, and we sent Scott Thuman there for our report this week to look at how Vietnam, you know, we lost that war, I think it was something like 46 years ago. We lost the war against communism in Vietnam, and we were fighting the China-backed North Vietnamese. So fast forward to today, we're now fighting China on different grounds in an economic war, and we're back in Vietnam again, fighting them there. But Vietnam has become quite a good ally for us in a business sense, with American businesses opening there, finding opportunities, and really serving as something that's helping us in our war with China over the economic dominance that China is trying to exert in the world. So it's a colorful piece. It's a great, interesting story looking at Vietnam today compared to the image that a lot of people may have in their minds from history. And I think people really find that a great, interesting story.
In watching Full Measure, you often have stories that uncover things that we're not aware of. There is a secretive legal counsel that I had not heard of, but you have that coming up on the show?
It's called the Office of Legal Counsel, and we interviewed the watchdogs at Project on Government Oversight because it's another one of these government institutions that's very secretive, people don't know much about, and the project called POGO has tried to get some documents because they're making decisions and giving recommendations to the executive branch of government to the White House, we often don't know even what's in those decisions. And when watchdogs try to get the decisions, some of them may affect us. Sometimes they're redacted or they're withheld. It's just a very secretive branch of government that people don't know much about. And we'll tell you about some of the decisions, how those may impact you in ways you would never know about, because they do try to keep a lot of those secrets from the public.
Much in the news this week about the Green New Deal. A lot of controversy even in the Democratic Party about it, but some of the platform, including the abolishment of airline travel and all vehicles and energy powered by fossil fuels. What's your take on the Green New Deal?
Well, I know there are people who very much believe in that there is man-made climate change and that we can do something to stop or change it. And I know there's a lot of criticism of the Green Deal or the plan that was sort of unveiled. But I also would say, what stops any people who truly believe that from doing these things tomorrow? I mean, there are people, they're firmly believing that the planet is being destroyed by certain things and that maybe in 10 years we should stop X, Y, and Z. Why do they ever get in a car again? I mean, tomorrow they could stop flying in planes, driving in cars, using fossil fuels, and it would have an impact if everybody who thinks that and believes it can have an impact actually started executing that in their own lives tomorrow. You don't hear anybody talking about these. You hear about waiting until there's a law or that everybody's forced to do it. That day will probably not come, at least the way I see it, where we're going to do away with cars and planes. But I think people could do that tomorrow. There's nothing stopping them if that's how they feel.
Yes, it would be interesting for so many of the voices that are now talking about phasing out airline travel if next time they have to get out to a fundraiser in California or somewhere across the country that they somehow get there another way.
You know, I did a story a couple years ago at CBS about members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, and bringing their spouses, going to the Copenhagen Climate Summit, at which there was, they knew it was going to be a big agreement happening there. And they flew these jets with a carbon footprint and spent all kinds of money and fossil fuels and stayed in fancy hotels. And, you know, it's just sort of that dilemma that if that's what you really think and what you're really aiming for, put your money where your mouth is. You don't see that happening too often, though.
Catch Full Measure tomorrow morning on ABC 7 at 10. And, of course, Cheryl's opinion piece, you can get to it by going to CherylAtkison.com or, of course, TheHill.com. Cheryl, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
We're at 7:57, Saturday morning update on WMAL. And, of course, the story we are following this morning, leading Democrats, both national and state Democrats, calling for Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax to step down. Last night, a press conference from Patrick Hope, delegate from Arlington. Here's what he had to say.
He needs to resign immediately. Should the lieutenant governor fail to do so, on Monday, I intend to introduce articles of impeachment on Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax.
We will keep you posted throughout the weekend on this story as it develops.
Now you can listen to WMAL at home, at work, or anywhere in the world on your Amazon Echo device. For one-time setup, say Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Once that's done, whenever you want to listen, simply say Alexa, play WMAL. More details at WMAL.com.
Will your children be ready to manage your assets after you're gone? Are there any strings you would like to attach? Have you considered their spouses in your planning? This is Chase Hinderstein, co-host of the Wise Investor Show on WMAL. We help our clients with these and other financial questions, and we'd be happy to discuss how we can work with you. Give us a call. You'll like what you hear.
To reach Chase, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
2019 is your year to do something about your vision. Larry O'Connor here, and I made the decision. So should you. Dr. Whitten is the most experienced LASIK surgeon in the area, and now Dr. Whitten treats age-related reading vision changes with an innovative Vision Over 40 procedure. He did mine, and I couldn't be happier. Schedule your free consultation now. Call 301-825-5755 or book online at whittenlasereye.com. That's whittenlasereye.com.
That's it for the Saturday morning update. Garden Sense follows the news. Heather Curtis will have the very latest on the political situation in Virginia. That is next.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station.